Russ Smith.
Okay. And on the clock. All right. Okay, could you lead, Mary, please, to the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mary. Okay. Item four, added agenda items. Matters had at this time discussed during other matter.
Mr. Chairman, we do need to add one agenda item, which is Huntington Meadows subdivision code enforcement.
Huntington Meadows what?
Subdivision code enforcement. Right away.
All right. Matters. Okay. All right, public comments?
Enjoy.
And approval of the January 17th meeting minutes?
I approve.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay.
I'll third.
And I did not have a chance to go over them, so three. Okay.
Yeah, very busy.
Okay, the minutes okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, item seven, city and planning updates. I can turn it over to the person with all the knowledge.
Thank you.
And you can bring us in on this, first the active planning applications.
Yes, so not much. I've been really busy, obviously. There's a lot in coming in that we don't have actually on my desk yet, but we have done several building permits just in the last month since I've been here. So there's a lot more that I still haven't approved yet, and I'll talk about that in a second. We have one lot line adjustment that I actually did do. It's done. Two conditional use permits, one partition, and three zone permits on my desk. So that's what's sitting on my desk. Just for your update, I have been working with the county since I got here, and the county with Lori Furlong, and she's a planning manager at the county. And she has agreed to give me access to Acela, which is
software?
Database, yes, thank you.
Okay.
And so I will be, we're trying to streamline from developer to approval, how many times they have to hit, you know, City Hall and then go back to planning. Because right now it's set up where they have to come to us, get a form, go to the county, then come back, and it's kind of not very streamlined or user-friendly. So the way it now works with simple building permits for residential, they can go and apply directly with me, hard copies. So the whole application to the county comes to me. I approve my part and I set it right on Rodney's desk, who's upstairs one day a week here. So they only have to hit us one time. And then for online, which they can do if you're a professional, I guess, around here. So they can apply online and then I get those directly through their database. They email me and I can go directly and approve them online. So we've already got that done in 1 month, so that's good. We're still working out some tweaks. Rodney is going to start being here, the permit tech for the county, 2 days a week in April. So that will really
be. What days are he going to be?
I don't know yet. I don't know if they know yet, but he'll be here. So
2 days?
Mm-hmm.
2 days a week.
Yeah. And he's going to move into the office downstairs, I believe. So it'll be easier for the public to get to him. Okay. And he's going to be working with me on the software program, the database, navigating and showing me how to use it. So that is coming up. So that'll be great.
Okay.
And let's see, what else?
Town hall
ordinance. City Council passed it unanimously. So that is now in a couple days. I don't know if it's 10 days or 20, it becomes an ordinance and we'll be able to have that with our code. And let's see. TGM, Schedule and Advisory Committee. Are you all familiar with the TGM grant? Okay, so that is huge. It is on its way. You should have all been taking surveys and getting lots of emails. We are going to start ramping it up in March, so be prepared. One of the things they're going to be looking for is we need an advisory committee, and that's going to be kind of like the first line of defense for the code. So when we have new portions of the code, or they've looked at pieces and they're giving us like the downtown design standards and the rest of the code, and they're cleaning up, the advisory committee's going to look at it, make recommendations, you know, suggestions, and then it goes to the full committee, council, planning, public, after the public's already looked at it a lot. The advisory committee is going to be made up of one planning commissioner, one city council, and then some community members. So be thinking amongst you who wants to put in the time and effort and all the reading to be on the advisory committee. It's going to be pretty intense. The timeline is starting in March, will be done in September. The advisory committee is probably going to meet at least once a month on top of your planning commission duties, if not more. And there will be a lot to read and look over. So think about that. March will ask you again, and you guys can decide who amongst you would be that person. March. We'll ask you at the March meeting. And then if you have any questions, go ahead and you can email me or call me or talk to Corey.
TGM, where were we going to start on that?
It's starting. Yeah, so yeah. March is going to be the kickoff.
Yeah, you know, that was the ordinance, and remember the once her face came here,
right.
We had a bucket.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so we're going to form that advisory committee, and then we're going to have, by April, we will already have a downtown overlay draft. So it's going to move quickly. Think about that. Any questions on that? Okay.
Just one question I had on. You've got an open permit here for blue collar investments. There are two of them. And there's no address on it.
I don't know what that is.
Is that off the county printout
that
we got this week?
This week.
Okay, let me find it, and I'll pull it up to see if I can find anything on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give me a few minutes.
It's just the only one that I've seen without an address on it. And I've never heard of it before.
Blue collar, I wonder if that's the, it sounds familiar.
I don't know.
Collar Investments.
Whoa.
Is the name of it.
I got good eyes, and that's really small.
Are you going on dial?
No.
Oh. You'll have to show me where you're going.
I will show you where I'm going.
Later. We got 22 minutes.
Yeah, you're cutting into my 22 minutes.
This is extending out that 22 minutes.
Okay, that's not it. Russ, can I see the report?
Yep.
While she's looking at that, I will tell you
so I can
that,
find it.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's the overall.
For those of you who
it's
are not picked to be the open advisory committee person selected, the planning commission will be most definitely involved. So you will be hitting on the regular meetings plus some extra public meetings that you want to attend, any council meetings you want to attend, and plus any public participation they have. And probably I would encourage you to attend as many as you can. So be as active as you can. The ambassador to the city, so when we go with this code amendment, you know, it's going to come to hearing before you obviously know this first. When people in the cities, you know, are saying, what are you doing? What's that? Why are you doing this? You know, you'll want to be able to explain it really well. So I encourage you to participate and be as active as you can. It's quite the feat. I've never seen a total code revision in my lifetime as a planner done this quick. It's cool. We need it badly. I've looked at our code. If you have, you know too. So I would just encourage you to be as active as you can and be involved.
got two-thirds of the way through.
Did you? We'll see. I think I've been through about four or five times now. Did we find Luke Collar?
I will find out what it is.
Okay.
I know where I'm looking now, though. So if you guys want to carry on, I'll interrupt when I'm ready.
Okay. Anything else on the GGM?
No.
Okay. All right. And any questions on that? Yeah. All right. How about number 8, discussion regarding sign code?
Okay.
Speaking of code.
Going along with what I just mentioned with the TGM grant, I have looked at our sign code, and I think we need to update it. We need to update it. There's a good opportunity to do this slowly and to do it over the months while we're doing the TGM grant, and then have it correspond and come to ordinance at the same time as the TGM grant. So your code is solidified. It goes together. Your sign code goes with your new zoning ordinance. It makes a lot of sense. It puts a lot more on your plate because you're going to be looking at this for the next several months also. But we're going to start slow. We're doing very high level tonight. I'm just getting your brains thinking about it, being aware. And so we're going to kind of go through it. It's a simple PowerPoint. I didn't put a lot of time into it, but I just want you to start thinking about signage and thinking about the city. So we're just going to kind of talk through some stuff. So I named the PowerPoint because I'm kind of funny that way. So it's called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I had to watch a lot of Westerns for it. Exactly. So,
I'll do sound effects.
Okay, good.
And if you want to stop, I found out what those are.
Oh.
Over by Mid-State Electric, where they just put in that subdivision.
Yeah.
On the opposite side where there's already the subdivision, not the duplexes.
Oh, Wheeler? Is that the Wheeler house?
Wheeler and Cabin Lake Lane. There's two side addresses there that haven't been given a street address name. So if you look at that report.
Milashenko,
is that his? No, this is not Milashenko.
Oh.
It's right by there, though. If you look at this report,
that's Stone Construction. That's
Ironstone.
Yeah, Ironstone.
So if you look
two buildings
here,
you're right.
This is the tax ID number, and if you go into Dial, you can look this up just the same as an address, and it'll take you to the map.
Yeah, they're two residential houses. He's building mid-level, so where Arbor Homes is building in the $200,000 range, and Crescent Creek is $300,000, he's building $250,000. Range, so they're a little nicer, if I can say that. So. Yeah, he did. You're right. Now I know. He pulled two building permits. How do I get this to change?
With the over button? Do you turn it on? Switch is on the right side.
Apparently not. There we go. So, why are we discussing the sign code? Kind of as I just told you before, which is number third. The first reason and the most important is there was a Supreme Court case that came down in 2015, I'm sorry, that was Reed versus Gilbert. Is anybody familiar with it? Have you heard? Okay. So Reed versus Gilbert was a pastor by the name of Reed, who sued the town of Gilbert, Arizona, for he had some temporary signs he would put out, kind of like the church does over here, leaving, you know, with the arrows you see outside anymore. Kind of about the same thing. And he sued because the sign ordinance said that if you're going to have temporary signs, you can only have them out so long. And they distinguished their temporary signs by what they were. And so basically, the Supreme Court in 2015 came down and said, you cannot regulate signage based on content. So if you have to read it to know what it is, you can't regulate that way. There is a very, very strong feeling in the planning world and the government, you know, city and state and local government, the Supreme Court kind of messed up. It was 9-0. So it wasn't like, you know, they were split, but there was three concurring opinions that kind of said, yes, we agree with the ruling, we don't agree with how the Supreme Court got there. this is what it should have been. So there's a feeling that in the next couple of years, there'll be another case that comes and kind of has different findings that kind of figures it out. But for now, it's Reed versus Gilbert. And so your sign code was approved in 2012. And it has some of that content-based stuff in it. So we want to correct that as soon as possible. And so that's why we're looking at it, the most important thing. That doesn't mean that you can't regulate signage. You can. It doesn't mean that you can't regulate by some content. It's just how you do it. And so we're going to be navigating that, and I'll tell you more as we bring in some more. But right now, it's I want to stay high level, and I don't want you to, I don't want to go through the whole Supreme Court case with you. So, because it's kind of confusing to tell you. And secondly, the state fire marshal, I've talked to Kevin Sullivan. I don't know if you are all familiar with him. He's our state fire marshal, and he operates out of Lapine, or out of Bend, but he handles our Lapine stuff, so when we have files go before him, he looks at them, makes recommendations. One of the first things he said to me after I met him was, wow, Lapine really needs to get an addressing system requirement for buildings and signage. And I went, okay, I'll put that on the list. So that's another reason. The TGM grant, like I said before, it just culminates and works really well together. We're going to have downtown revitalization. We have the city center on 4th, and we're going to have some design standards for your downtown. We're going to try and create this downtown. It just makes sense that we want our signage to match. You don't want to remodel a house and not do, you know, the foundations and the frame and the, you know, the paint and stuff on the outside. And then coming this fall, we have the Highway 97 refinement plan for up north. So this is a perfect opportunity, although busy, and I know that this is going to seem like a lot, and so I'm going to try to do my best to make this painless for you. We're going to go slow. Like I said, tonight's just kind of a fun overview, and then we'll just kind of add to it a little each month so that by the time we get to the end, you'll have a code and you won't realize maybe that you had a code and
didn't
you did
even
that.
Feel it.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll try to pull the band-aid off.
Add
fast.
Some honey to the
over
medicine.
Several months. Huh?
Add some honey to the medicine.
Yes, that's right. Just gonna, this is the one that everybody's going to talk to you about in town, though, when they start seeing and knowing this is coming. So be prepared. So the good. And this is all subjective, obviously. Some of you are probably already frowning. But signs can be good. We all know that.
I'm not. Isn't
know?
That Vegas?
Yeah, exactly. Well, see, that's my point. So we know traffic signs are good. We know we need them. You need a stop sign. You need the yield. The one down in the lower right-hand corner, I really would like to see more of. It says poisonous snakes and insects inhabit the area.
Creepy.
I consider that a good sign. I would like to know about that. The other two, they're cities. And truthfully, this is where signage actually made or brought character to the city. You know those cities without me telling you or putting what they are up there. At least I hope you do, and if you don't, I can tell you. But do you all know what the upper right-hand corner is?
Vegas.
Yeah, have you been there? Yeah. So you could even take what the signage is actually selling or representing or advertising off of those signs, and you would still know that's Vegas. I mean, they bring character. So the signage kind of made the city in a way, and it brought something to the city. Same thing with down here, it's a little harder, but it's Times Square. It doesn't matter what they're advertising, you know it's Times Square, and you know they could change that advertising, which they do, and it's still, that's Times Square. If you took that all out of there, it wouldn't be the same. I'm not suggesting Lapine becomes either of these. In fact, I've heard quite the opposite since I've been here for the month, so I know we're not going in this direction. I just want you to know that, you know, I'm not out here saying signage is bad, and that's not what we want for our code. You certainly don't want your business people thinking that we're anti-signage. They do bring some good, and we do need them. Just probably not like that. So the bad. I'm not so sure the top one's all that bad, but it just struck me that it's almost like there's no sign code. I don't know what they would use. they just kind of have too much signage for their building. They got these great character, those buildings have great historic character. I don't know, this kind of reminds me of like Motor City, Detroit, or maybe it's Memphis, I don't know. But it's got the old historic signage up there that's actually washed out, that they have dated or made look nice. And then they have all these like signages across that are way too big for the storefronts that are trying to overlap each other. And one of them, oops, sorry, back. That's the ugly. One of them, right up here, selling, it just has one word, it says tobacco, like really, really big. I guess it sells tobacco, but I don't know. And then they have all different kinds of signage, so they have the standout letters here, and they have the words. And then down below, which you can't see really clear, there's more signage down here. So they've really just...
That's too much.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they kind of ruined the whole look of the character of the buildings. I mean, you can't really see that there's character there because it's all plastered with this. And then down below is a typical, could be Highway 97 someday, it could be, you know, it's an arterial, definitely. And I didn't notice, it took me a while, I went over this PowerPoint several times before I even noticed that. It looks like, if you look down here, they started doing frontage improvements because they're not here. And they're beautiful, it's wide, it's got, you know, you're separated when you're walking, it's exactly what you want, but I didn't notice it, and we have all this signage all the way down. And then, if you want to pull in here, you really don't know, do you turn here, do you turn here, do you turn here? So you have all this, and then the other thing you have to notice is, when you're driving, you have to now look up, and you're right on it. So there's that aspect of where your eyes are drawn to, and when you're in that kind of a street situation, I don't think your eyes really want to be leaving your front of your car too much, unless you drive in LA a lot. And the ugly, I just found ugly signs, even one with the word that says ugly. But again, subjective. You might think they're beautiful, and that's okay. I'm not going to fault you or worry about it. Banners, here's some just, I don't even know why, but they're selling stuff. This sign is just like on two posts, and it's handwritten with some cute little different kinds of fonts, but I don't know.
I like that there's a sign that says ugly signs.
Yeah, I love it, yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Get your ugly signs here!
Street, again, with, you know, everything just so... I don't even know how you would read that driving 35 miles an hour. There's no way you could read all of that. And lastly, I have a quote. This is Lisa, and I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Soren? Yeah. She's the executive director of the State and Local Legal Center. They add, they file supreme briefs on behalf of cities and municipalities. And it says, cities can, should, and must revise their sign codes to comply with REED. While it might not be easy and all the fixes won't make perfect sense, REED provides cities an opportunity to ask themselves what they want their communities to look like and how they can get there creatively and legally. And lastly, I changed the order of this. To give you another small update, City Council last meeting adopted a mission statement and vision statement, and this is what they adopted. And their mission statement is to maintain the friendly, approachable, small town nature of the city through effective local leadership, fiscal responsibility, and efficient management. And the vision statement is we strive to deliver the highest quality of life for our community, citizens, businesses, and guests. And one of their main goals under that was beautification and revitalization. And it was enhance the shared character and connectivity of Lapine through quality public improvements and policies. So that is new. They did a goal setting session and this came out of it. That's just one of the goals, by the way. They have, I think, seven.
I believe it was seven.
I wanted to leave you with that. And because I'm really bad, I'm giving you homework. So next month when we come, instead of listening to me talk and do a PowerPoint, I would like each one of you to bring five ideas, thought suggestions, or pictures. It can be a simple word. Don't take this and make me a five-page, you know, storybook or anything. Of what you think good, effective signage looks like, what the purpose is, where the signage should be located. You don't have to answer all those. I'm being serious when I say just five things. If you want to email me five pictures, I'm good. If you want to email me five thoughts, if you want to say, hey, I hate this, 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 and this, I like this, this, and this, or I think all signage is good, we shouldn't regulate it, whatever you want to tell me, just five things, I'm good. And if you're really bashful and you don't want to say it out loud in a public meeting, you can email it to me and I'll do a nice little PowerPoint with all your ideas and nobody will know who said what. So, or you can come in and hand it to me and I'll scan it and do it. That's all I wanted to talk about today for signage. That's it. So just to get you thinking, think about towns you've been in, think about Lapine. I encourage you to drive, you know, drive Lapine with a view of not living here. As a tourist, as a guest, as a business owner, just think about those things instead of as just, I know Lapine and I don't even see the signage anymore because I know where I'm going and I know what I want to do. And talk to the business owners, you know, or not, because you don't want to know yet, whatever. But that's it. That's your high-level signage discussion.
Any questions on that?
Actually, I just want to bring up, I remember when Pine started going through making those regulations for signs, it's because something we had about numerous signs that suddenly popped up right after the city became a city. And they jumped on it as soon as they could. They were able to stop some of the crazy signs were coming in, but that's the reason why they went through the way they did. It was sort of a panic mode when they did it. I wasn't part of it. I can remember hearing all about it
at
that time. But something, we've got to do something about signs because they're really crazy. And we are very concerned about having nothing but signs all the way down through the city.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, the
unfortunately, you can't go, and a lot of them were grandfathered in. They were ugly, but you can't do anything about it.
Well, yeah, and we'll talk about some of those things. We can do some things about it. It's just the direction you want to take and
Right. Where
this plot winds up. I will tell you this, your sign code is 50 pages long. I do not wish for a 50-page long sign code.
I think everybody jumped on it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the unfortunate thing. Everybody had 10 ideas.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to
So we're just going to throw them all in.
And it's fine. It's all right. The, you know, like I said, the main reason is I want to get the city into compliance with Reed, and that's the main thing. And then also because we're going to have this new zoning ordinance, I feel it's important. I want, you know, we want our signage to match. We want our signage to be compatible.
Does the county have any overlying rules on their signage? Or?
You know, I think they do. I think...
we have to take that into consideration?
Nope.
No.
We're our own city.
Okay.
Yeah. We will probably, I'll bring you pieces depending on where your thoughts and where this goes. I don't want to direct you too much. I want this to come from you. I want you to have ownership. I will give you my opinion. I have biases, so I try to keep them to myself, but I'd rather hear your biases. So, if you want my opinion, I will give it to you.
You want that by next meeting?
Yeah, exactly. I'll have my five things down.
All right. If we get ideas first hand, you want them emailed to you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can just show
it.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Perfect.
Okay, any other questions on that? Is that all you have on that?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, other matters. Number nine, Huntington.
So Huntington subdivision was created out when it was still part of the county, and it is now in the city. And so what we've noticed is there were some conditions of approval that were conditioned when it was approved through the county. And one of them was they have these swells in front that have become nice parking spaces. And that has been an issue. We've gotten complaints on for both sides. And I'll put this very succinctly, is that we've had complaints where people are wanting to to have the swells put in, and we've had complaints about that's our parking spaces don't take them. And so Corey went out, I went out and looked at it, I think Corey and I even went out together and looked at it, and then Corey went back out at 9 o'clock last week and found 44 cars parked in the right-of-way.
In the swales?
Yeah. And so, and this was at 9 o'clock on a regular weekday. And so we're, yes. And so what we're looking for is just kind of a general direction from you. There's different avenues the city could take. We're not sure how the council's gonna wanna go, but we thought we'd bring it to you first and get your thoughts. One is, are you wanting the city to spend money to enforce these swells or go make these swells that weren't made, enforce the right-of-way parking? Or do you want us to, do you even want us to spend time on this? Do you want city staff to go spend time enforcing kicking the cars off the newly created parking areas or lack of swells, or spending money that way? Or should we do anything at all? I know we told Arbor Homes is out there building right now. We told them to go put the swells in. They put basketball-sized boulders. The next day, somebody had moved the boulders and parked there anyway. So, you know, it is. So, I guess we're looking for a discussion from you, a little bit of ideas and thoughts of what you feel, and then we're also going to take it to council and ask them the same thing.
What was the original purpose for the swell?
It's right-of-way, it's city right-of-way, and it's for a storm, so like last year, you know, the street, yeah, for snow removal, yeah.
No. Can I ask a question first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Are you saying will we still do right-of-way enforcement when there was 3 or more inches of snow per the snow ordinance?
Yes, I'm sorry, you're right.
Okay, so this, we're just talking about when there's not 3 inches of snow
right.
on the ground.
Right,
okay.
We're still gonna do... My
3 or more inches, they have to move the cars out of the right of way so we can put the snow there.
Yeah.
And that's enforced, and we have a tow ordinance that we go, like, they'll go out this week and put notices on the cars in case we get more than 3 inches of snow over the weekend that say Monday, we're going to tow your car if it's still in the right of way.
Yeah.
So that'll still happen in future years.
That just started this year, though, wasn't it?
Last year.
How did it work out last year?
It went fine after we built the ordinance and got it going. I think we had to tow 2 cars out of the, and there were, I think we posted notices on 60 to 70 cars in that neighborhood, and in 72 hours there was only 2 left to tow.
Yeah.
The reason for the swales originally was because we do not have a flood water system or any kind of system to get the water off the roads in case of rain. That's why we substituted swales originally. Say we haven't part of that one. That's the reasoning behind them. That's why we have swales all over here, because we do not have the underground piping to get rid of all the wastewater stormwater system.
Right. No curving gutter.
And
we use
when we only get 8 inches of rain a year, we don't worry about it most of the time. However, during our snowstorms and all the rest of that, we have major problems out there. Even last year, eventually they got it taken care of. That was quite a battle last year.
So I think it was 2 years ago, and you may be thinking the real battle year was 2 years ago when Rick was still here.
Probably was.
And we ended up, it was horrible. We didn't get the cars out of the right away, and we literally had 20-foot paths going in and out of Huntington Meadows.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, we got those roads lined up well enough that people could get in and out. They weren't very happy with the berms and that they only had 2 parking spots in their driveways, but they had the wide enough roads that 2 cars could pass each other at the same time. That was last year. But 2 years ago, it was a one-way street. One direction.
Yeah. I know that we've been fighting that for years.
Well, originally, of course, they were designed as swales and 2 feet deep or something. But
that is the worst one. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, but are they not all 75% filled in now?
They are, but if we went and hung the notices and there was 3 inches of snow, we would maybe have to tow 2 cars on Monday. So that's what we're getting at. In the wintertime, it's an enforcement issue and we can get them out of the swales. But in the summertime, is it worth staff, and I think I'm getting this right, is it worth the staff time to go out there and try to get these people to move their cars where they're where they've been parking for the last decade? Or only when there's snow on the ground and we need the actual right-of-way to store the snow?
Yeah, well, I understand that.
But it, again, isn't just Huntington Meadows. What's the other one right across from?
Mid-State?
Mid-State.
That's a different scenario. Those aren't public right-of-way.
That's private.
That's private property in front of those houses.
Right. Well, okay. Well, we got to come back with ideas on that also, correct?
General feedback. And what I think the other thing is, Corey, when he was talking about spending time and city money creating the swells, would actually create a swell.
Right.
Dig them out, which is what Arbor started to kind of do.
And probably placing large, expensive boulders in the bottom of them so you couldn't park in them.
Right.
It would probably be not significant, but over $10,000 or more in boulders, I would guess, alone on those streets.
Sure would, yeah.
It would be significant city money.
But would it be worthwhile?
That's the question we're asking.
I mean, we've got some of those places that have 4 or 5 cars. Where are they?
They get out in the wintertime if they need to. I mean, so that's where it's at. It's a cleanliness issue. And that neighborhood has an HOA that doesn't really function well. And that's really, really where it should, I was trying to be nice. And that's where that burden should actually lie on the HOA. But
it should, but they can't get everybody to join it either.
Right.
Become part of it.
Yep, it's a first time homebuyer's neighborhood. I mean, I bought my first home this year and I didn't buy into an HOA because I didn't want to live in one. I'm a first time homebuyer.
Wasn't required back when you started, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm the swales aren't working now, but as spending money to take them out now, I say that's a waste of money. Enforce it like you did in the winter. Enforce it with a heavy hand on that. So if they're not, so they know that, you know, as soon as snow flies, they better be out of there. That would be my opinion on it. But as far as digging them out, putting in rocks, which, you know, we've had discussion about that with your utility. They say it worked very well. I've never been happy with swale myself. I mean, there's always been problems of some sort.
Yeah.
But that's what I'd say. It's not worth the money.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't think it's worth the money.
But enforce it heavily in the winter?
Yes.
Or somebody said, why don't you put a monthly deal on it, you know? Like, you know, even though it,
during
the
months of
December, January, February, or whatever.
I think there's signs in the swales, and I don't know for sure. I think we hooked them to all the neighborhood watch signs that say, in the event that there are more than 3 inches of snow mm-hmm. during the months of, and I think they may even call out the month November to March.
Yeah.
Your vehicle may be towed, basically, and then we go out and our guys run out and stick a notice on them. It takes them. When we did it last year, I think we spent maybe 45 minutes. One person took each street, and there was 3 of us. And it took us 45 minutes to walk down the street. And more so, we talked to people than we even hung notices. We just said, we knew the snowstorm's coming. We need to get the swales cleared out.
Right.
If car's not towed by Monday, we're going to have it towed. Yeah. And people were really receptive to that because they wanted 2-lane roads.
Right.
Or then there were people who obviously weren't receptive, but you get both good and bad always.
Okay. So you're saying...
I'm saying leave the swells, and just in the winter months do the
heavier.
Yeah.
I'm tending toward putting some more rock out there.
Putting filling or big boulders.
Boulder. Mm-hmm. Enforcing it more. But that's my opinion.
So leave the swell.
And put some boulders
rock
down there.
And enforcement.
What about all the ones that are filled now? What do you do with that? Just put rock on top of that too? I mean, a big boulders. It still gives you some.
Which ones are filled?
They're all, pretty much all of them.
Yeah.
They're just a flat surface now with gravel.
Right.
Even they never really dug them out when they started.
Right, even though it's porous gravel, it still gives you a little bit of drainage for rain, but not for snow.
And a lot of people, when they have visitors, park in that part because they have two cars for the family, and there's nowhere else for them to park. I mean.
Correct. I can see the argument. I mean, nowadays, let's face it, if you've got kids who drive, you've got problems.
Same. I mean, let's not, I mean, why spend that money to rent a car? Yes, putting in boards is going to cost some money, but I think it costs a lot less than removing them. And just, you know, adhere or enforce what the sign says.
Mm-hmm. And we do.
And so.
During the snow season.
During the snow.
I guess one of my questions is, you know, Corey's been out one time at 9 o'clock, but what happens on a normal day? I mean, or do we have people parking on the street or?
It's a pretty busy neighborhood, period.
I mean, I've heard a lot of complaints out there. About the.
What's your feelings on that?
I prefer the large boulders be placed.
Rather than putting them in?
Yeah.
Okay, but what about digging it out, putting them in?
We were given an estimate of what that would cost, so it'd be hard to say, but.
Yeah, I'm saying because it'd probably be fairly considerable. I don't know, how many properties, do we know how many properties are over there?
I'll look it up real quick.
There's a few streets and some may have.
I can count how many swales there are.
A lot.
There are a lot.
They're just about, well, it's right away and it's in front of the, on either side.
Almost all.
Yeah.
The majority of the driveways are deep enough to park two vehicles as well as what's in the garage.
Right.
Most of them don't park in the garage.
Yeah.
No.
Storage.
Well, okay, so. We're saying, it's, so you're saying dig them out, put boulders in. If that's, that would be the ideal way.
Well.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
Would everybody agree on that? Dig them out and put boulders in one? Okay.
I'm just thinking of it, you know, fiscally.
Too much money.
Yeah, fiscally, it's.
And our second choice is just leave it the way it is. If there is a swale, open, put boulders in it now. Keep that from happening in the future, and then more enforcement, which they're doing a good job, I assume, as she said, so in the winter.
I think we discussed and we'll duly note how many you split, and here's what you.
16, 32,
32. From $10,000, I'd say. To clear it out.
$6,000 is not that much money, dude.
Okay, so I'm counting on Heath, Cassidy, and Riley, almost 100 swales.
Yeah.
So I would say that my off-the-cuff guess of $10,000 is probably nowhere near right.
Yeah, right. There's 70 properties.
And that's not including the ones on Betty that are soon to be developed.
Well, but if we're making the developer do them.
But I'm fine. I'm going to guess 100 swales. Give or take.
Wow. We have noted your discussion. It's great. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any other comments on it?
I think the only comment I have is when we go into future development, that's one thing we've got to be very careful about, making sure that we have everything down where we allow them to put in their houses and all the rest of that stuff. If they don't like our way of doing it, they can go build something else.
Okay.
I hate to be mean about that, but the last time we had a thing here, we had, you know, well, curbs are too expensive. And we allowed that to get through, but I don't think I'm going to allow that to go through if I can stop it. I mean, we've got to put a truck down someplace and say, look, we're a city. So.
Yeah, okay.
Just for the record.
All right. Okay. Anything else from staff?
I
I have one other update. Are we on staff comments?
Yes.
Okay. So just to update you real quick on the Sustainable Cities program. You're all aware that's here too. In March, we'll have two classes. One is going to be a landscape architect class, and the other is a bicycle connectivity class. And they're going to be looking at, the architect class is going to be looking at, I think Huntington, and they're going to come up with designs. So that's exciting, which goes right with your TGM and your sign code. So that is going to be really exciting. Look for that. They'll probably be around town, and then you will be involved in that when they have the kickoff for those classes. You will definitely get an email and be invited to that. And then the bicycle connectivity is going to be looking at, obviously, that in town, connectivity for bikes, and that will be exciting also.
Just one comment on that is I'd really like them to take a look at Morrison also.
I think that's part of the, it is. It's part of the whole
downtown.
Yeah, I just
want everybody who's not talking.
Yeah. No, we're looking at more. Yeah, Morrison's not getting forgotten.
Get
it's not being left out.
Yeah.
But the Huntington definitely is going to be the scope, and that will be exciting. Because secretly, I'm pushing for a ride. Which will get me ran out of town on rails, probably, but right there at Huntington and where the fire, what road is that? Yeah, where the library and the fire district. And it's right there at Heritage.
You want a what?
Nothing. No.
Is it circle shaped?
Sometimes oval, yeah. Anyway. So that'll be exciting, and you will be kept up to date on that.
Okay, that's about it then. Does anybody on the commission have some comments or any other thing to add? Sounds like we've got a lot of things coming up, and we'll be busy, so. The thing we have now is the five ideas on the signage. Don't forget to get that for next meeting. Well, that's one of the things you'll tell us when and where.
We will. We'll be shooting emails and inviting you to all the good stuff happening.
Okay.
Yeah. And I do encourage you to be as involved as possible.
All righty. That's it. I guess we can have a...
I move we adjourn.
Yes.
I second it.
There we go. We have a first and a second. Can I have a vote?
Aye.
It's unanimous. At 6:29, this meeting is adjourned.
I'm going to get you all cards with my.